You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And you're here. Thanks for choosing the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Your quest for podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained ends here. We invite you to enjoy all our shows we have on this network. And right now, let's start with Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For over 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death, and so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. I had an extraordinary opportunity this past week. I got to interview the great Dr. Raymond Moody and co-author Paul Perry on a brand new book. And depending on when you're listening, it may already be out. The book is titled Proof of Life After Life: 7 Reasons to Believe There Is an Afterlife. The entire recording is well over an hour, so if you would like to watch the full video interview, just go to WeDon'tDie.com and click on the radio show page. Today, I want to include some of the clips from that magnificent conversation and read to you a little bit about what's in the book. They were kind enough to send me a copy before it gets out to the public. This is one of those interviews that I actually learned some new things about life after death, and I think you will too. So let me tell you about the guys you are going to hear from. First of all, Dr. Raymond Moody and Paul Perry are both longtime friends, both New York Times bestselling authors with 50 years of investigating life after death. Dr. Raymond Moody is the leading authority on the near-death experience, a phrase he coined back in the late 70s. His groundbreaking work, Life After Life, completely changed the way we view death and dying and has sold more than 13 million copies. Paul Perry is the co-author of 5 New York Times bestsellers, including The Light Beyond with Dr. Moody, Saved by the Light with Danyon Brinkley, and Evidence of the Afterlife with Dr. Jeffrey Long. He has co-written a dozen books on near-death experiences, 4 of them with Dr. Moody, and directed 2 popular documentary films on the subject. You can visit Dr. Moody's website at lifeafterlife.com, and you can see all that Paul Perry has done at paulperryproductions.com. So today we'll be talking about their book, Proof of Life After Life, 7 Reasons to Believe There Is an Afterlife. I first asked these two gentlemen how they met each other.
Hi there.
Hello. Thank you so much for this invitation.
Well, I'm excited, not just to share you, but it's 2 for the price of 1 today, 2 wonderful gentlemen and me. How lucky am I? How did you 2 first meet, if I can ask that question?
Oh, that was interesting. Raymond was working on a book at the time. Was the working title was Light Beyond. That's what it ended up being called. And I was editing a major health magazine in New York called American Health. And my agent took me out to lunch one day and he said, hey, would you mind giving Dr. Raymond Moody a hand in writing a book? And I said, I don't even know who Dr. Moody is. And he said, really? He named the near-death experience and defined it. And I said, I don't know what a near-death experience is. And so Nat, our agent, says, he's an abrupt guy. And he says, I can't believe it. You're editing a major health magazine. You're not smart enough to know what a near-death experience is. You need to go meet Raymond Moody and study this whole field. And so that's what I did. I went to Atlanta. Raymond was living in Carrollton at the time, Georgia. And we talked about the book, The Light Beyond. We hit it off right away. And one thing leads to another. And since then, we've written, this is our 6th book together. Proof of Life After Life is our 6th book. And one book always leads to a question, and the question that needs to be answered. And so that's what we do. We'll write a book and all of a sudden there'll be, with The Light Beyond, it was, gee, there's nothing in this book about children and near-death experiences. And Raymond said, well, you know, there's not much research being done on it. But he directed me to Melvin Morris in Seattle. And I went to see Melvin, and we wrote 4 books on children and near-death experiences and other aspects of the near-death experience. And 3 of those were New York Times bestsellers. And then it would go on and on. We'd have question after question, book after book. And that's what we did from that point to now, is answer these questions.
Incredible. That's right. Dr. Moody, you remember when you met Paul?
I certainly do. And you know, Paul and I think we have a great, working team here, because I just tell you the truth. Yeah, all the people who know me very well will tell you it's true. But in fact, I am such a bore in the way I think. Listen, I was a professor of philosophy and logic. And my lifelong thing since the age of 18 is ancient Greek philosophy. Well, there's a bestseller for you, right? So what I'm getting at is, this is not most people's fair. But it's how I got interested in this. From Plato studied this, and the early Greek philosophers knew about these things. That's how I found out about it in the long run. But, you know, a philosopher is not going to be the right person to present some of this information to the average person, I think. And so I tend to talk in abstractions and put the information in that context. Whereas Paul can say, hey, just a minute here, professor. You know, that doesn't make any sense to what way. And together we come up with a way, I think, to present information that is sometimes very, you know, complex, hopefully in a way that people will relate to it and benefit from it primarily.
Raymond is one of the, probably the most exciting and interesting person I know. And for reasons just stated, he knows everything.
Oh, no. Well, I know enough to know I don't know hardly anything, is the way I am. You know,
he knows nothing about the Yankees or the LA Dodgers.
No. But I do know about the professional wrestling, though.
That's true. That's another subject, though.
We need to follow our passions, right? We can't talk about the afterlife.
That's right. But this topic that you're interested in, Sandra, and Paul and I are interested in, it's been my experience beginning at age 18, actually, that when people reach a certain age, and especially so, I think that people who've been so successful that they've spent their lifetime focusing on their business or the busy work and, you know, just focusing on that side of life. When they reach a certain age, say 50s, 60s, 70s, they begin to wake up to this question of life after death, which has been put aside or thought of as trivial, or, you know, it doesn't happen, or and then they just automatically wake up to it. By the way, that reason I found out about that at age 18 was I read it in my hero Plato, my first philosophy class in September of 62. Reading the first few pages of Plato's Republic, I decided then there to shift from astronomy, which is what I went there to study, immediately to philosophy, because this, why is Plato's work still in print at any store 2,300 years? People should ask themselves that. Well, number one, because it is amazing, terrific stuff. And this Republic is about, in the end, a near-death experience. It starts with this old guy who's been very successful in life. He says, and Socrates, who's then about 20, meets the old guy, says, you know, Kephalos, what's it like from your point of view? Oh, Kephalos says, I've been very successful in my business, made a lot of money. I've spent all time on my business. And now here I am. I saw all those stories I heard about as about the afterlife when I was a kid, coming back. And these people develop this sense of urgency. Then in a later Plato dialogue I read that same semester, he talked about the importance of this question of life after death. So that's how I got into this. And it came from Greek philosophy, where it was a big point of study. And yet, of course, all the other things too that people are concerned about, because after I got my PhD in philosophy and as a philosophy professor, I went into psychiatry with my specific interest in it being why people kill people. From a law enforcement family, I rode in a cop car when I was a kid. I mean, my brother, a sheriff, my two uncles, chief of police, two cousins. I mean, my dad worked for the DEA as a surgeon at for this drug stuff. And you see how it is, you know? So to me, this big question, which I studied from early on, is why in the world would somebody kill somebody? So I studied that in psychiatry, and I worked in a unit for the criminally insane that was full of these people that you read about in the National Enquirer. Was my daily work. And so, through all of this, I have developed, I think, a great peace in one respect, with respect to the question of life after death. And not through a logical process exactly, because there's great logical difficulties in trying to prove an afterlife. But thinking it through myself, I just give up. You know, to me, it looks like, yeah, there's a life after death, as counterintuitive as it still seems to me, and having no template from it, but always debating with myself about it. It's this thing about oxygen deprivation to the brain. I'm sorry, that's baloney, but people have the same experience identically who are not themselves ill or injured or going through a resuscitation, but rather who are there in the presence of somebody who is dying.
This is a good time to take our break, and then we'll get back. What Dr. Moody's starting to talk about is the shared death experience. I wanted to play all that just so you got a little flavor for who these gentlemen are. They've been at this a long time. So let's go to the break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/shades today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/shades.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're listening to Paul Perry and the world famous Dr. Raymond Moody talking about their brand new book, Proof of Life After Life, Seven Reasons to Believe There Is an Afterlife. And I'll give you a little sneak preview. Their reasons are all in the realm of this shared death experience. So let's listen to Dr. Moody talk about the shared death experience.
It's a very frequent occurrence that people standing around say things like, oh, as grandma was dying, I lifted out of my body. I started going toward this light with my grandma. Or people say, as grandma was dying, apparitions of the dying person's loved ones come in the room. People see that the whole room fills with light. And most strikingly to me, that in many cases I've studied over the years, the bystander at the death of someone else, that as the person is dying, will themselves empathically co-participate in the dying life review of the person there. And this to me is startling information, and it makes me try to come up with some reason that I could get myself recused from my life review, because, you know, the idea of itself is enough to scare you, worry about. But, you know, the idea of having a spectator there, these people pass the popcorn, but it happens. And happens not just to people, as I would have thought, who are intimate and know the person well, but in one case, a medical doctor told me of seeing his dying patient's life review, who had never even laid his eyes on patient for is just called to the ER too. So what I'm talking about is that something odd is going on here that does not fit into the view of reality that we're pretty much forced to maintain, you know, in everyday life. So But the older you get, the more you're amenable to exploring these things. I noticed that the older I get, the more of my friends who are my age have had some kind of experience in their life, which is like stepping over into some other realm of existence. See, I have a lot of friends who are medical doctors whose medical judgment I would trust 100% if something happened to me. And those same friends of mine tell me that, yeah, they had this near-death experience. And not only was it real, but it was more real than this ordinary reality. And you know the incredible things that happen. If you know the story probably of Anthony Chicoria, PhD in physiology, MD, a professor of orthopedic surgery at NYU, who had a profound near-death experience and was struck in the head by a bolt of lightning, had a cardiac arrest, and was at a family reunion, was able to look all around. You know, saw his relatives who were there at the reunion at the resort center, even though he was apparently dead. And, you know, Anthony said, you know, this is more real. Then Anthony, who had never had any interest in music, started getting fascinated by the piano, started having dreams in which he was playing a piano on a concert stage, playing the same music, learned how to play the piano and transcribed this music, and is now, in addition to being a, you know, renowned orthopedic surgeon, as a famed concert pianist too. I mean, see, things like that don't make any sense if this world is as we think by common sense that it is constituted. So you see, and I could go on with it, you know, a dozen other physicians, that same story, but I give up. I can't figure out how I could reconcile the fact that I would put myself in these doctors' hands, you know, in a life or death situation, with the fact that they all tell me that this thing is more real than any reality that I've experienced.
I think as human beings, we're hardwired not to believe. Maybe it's to be tied in with the game of life. I'm not
sure. There you go.
I've experienced miracles myself, but I wake up in the morning thinking, is this all real? You know?
Yeah.
I think almost everybody's experienced some kind of a miracle, and they don't recognize it or they don't want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to mention, for instance, with shared death experiences, which is what this book is about, if you start to talk to people about what you're working on, almost everybody will say, well, I've had an experience like that. And I didn't talk about it because I thought people would think I was wacky, or I just never thought it was an appropriate conversation. For whatever reason, they don't like to bring it up. Once you bring it up, though, you start to open up the flower, as it were, and people start to deliver information that you previously didn't know was out there. That's how it was with near-death experiences. And this book is vastly different from near-death experiences, which are experiences that take place with people who are essentially at the bedside of someone who's dying, and they share their death experience.
I saw this old Maynard guy who was in his 80s, who was a GP for all of his career. And he was telling me, and this was at the Council Grove Consciousness Seminar that was put on by the Miniature Foundation. And he was saying that he had this patient he had had a long time. She was elderly. And she had hypertension, and she had what we call a cor bovina, which is a big round heart. And it's caused by, if the high blood pressure over a long period of time, the heart sometimes just comes out and looks kind of round from pressure. It's like a cow heart. And these hearts are very irritable. This woman, who was, I think, in her 90s, I'm pretty sure he said, they kept going, and then her heart would stop, and then the zapper, she's back. So the woman just passes away. But this doctor told me, he said, the friend told him that as her friend was dying, she said she herself, the friend, went out of her body and was going up right with her friend toward this light. And she saw the people she recognized as the friends and relatives of her friend, who, and all of them had died and so on. And I mean, I could go on telling you hundreds, more than 100, as many as you want, stories like that. This near-death experience is not something that is somehow generated by an oxygen deprivation deprived brain, but it's going to take something else than what we have for society to wake up with that, because this is too threatening for people, for many people otherwise. Some people can accept that there's an afterlife. This idea scares a lot of other people. So we're still going to be stuck for a while in this sort of framework, is the reality versus the oxygen deprivation. But, you know, one thing those folks never think of is, even if you could prove that it was not oxygen deprivation to the brain, that still wouldn't prove that it's life after death. See, so in a way, that is all irrelevant, because a certain kind of mind, they've got to have this kind of framework to process it. But when this is going to come all the loose is when we can step outside of that framework and look at whole new possibilities about these near-death experiences.
What's a precognitive experience?
These are not all necessarily related to near-death experiences. I think that's the beauty of a shared death experience. A shared death experience is when someone who is well shares the death experience of someone who's dying. So in the case of a precognitive experience, we have a couple of case studies here of people who had loved ones in China and they were in England, and they wake up in the middle of the night and they see this person who's in China standing at the foot of their bed and tells them, "I've died and I'll miss you." And then that's the end of the experience. It's later proven that this person did die at the same time that they had appeared to this individual. And we have doctors who have seen their fathers. They've woken up and they've seen their father standing there. And the father says, you better talk to your mother, because I've spoken to her and she knows that I'm dead. You better talk to your mother and get the facts. So that's precognitive. It's that kind of an experience. But there's other ones in here that aren't all related to near-death experiences. And I think that's really the power of this book, is that this book takes off from near-death experiences, which are subjective experiences. In other words, the person who has an NDE is the person who has it. And no one else has had it. No one else can really experience what they experienced. But a shared death experience is when someone shares the experience of a dying individual. And that's what makes this book very different. So if you look at things like light, mist, and music, we have, once again, a number of physicians who in a hospital have actually seen a light or a mist leave a person's body as they die. Or we have people who hear music when someone is dying. They'll be in the room and they'll hear music. And sometimes there might be several people in the room with this individual who hear music and then several who don't. And that's one of the puzzles of shared death experiences.
You were mentioning too earlier, Sandra, about out-of-body experiences, which are, yes, that is a rather mind-boggling part of near-death experiences. They often say they hear the doctor pronounce them dead or say that they've died or whatever, but they say from their point of view, they feel that they actually leave their physical bodies and they drift up. Typically, in most of the stories I hear, that's in an operating room or medical facility or whatever. So people say they can rise up, they see their body down below, they can see the doctors and nurses working on it, but their consciousness is separated. And then they say in this circumstance, you can understand what the doctor or nurse or whoever are communicating, but you don't hear their voice, that you sort of pick up on what they're communicating by mind. When they try to communicate in turn, that nobody can hear them, kind of dawns on them that this might be connected with what we call death. And so with that realization, they say they go through this passageway into another world.
This is a great time to sneak in a break, and we'll be right back with Paul Perry and Dr. Raymond Moody talking about their new book. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and you're listening to a conversation I had with Dr. Raymond Moody and Paul Perry this week on their brand new book called Proof of Life Afterlife, 7 Reasons to Believe There Is an Afterlife. I feel so grateful that they picked me for their first interview, and they were kind enough to send me a copy of the book before it went out to the public. So there's a high chance that you're hearing this information before the rest of the world. The foreword of the book is by Eben Alexander, who wrote, of course, Proof of Heaven. I want to tell you what the 7 reasons to believe are. Reason number 1, out-of-body experiences. Reason number 2, precognitive experiences. Reason number 3, the transforming light. Reason number 4, terminal lucidity. Reason number 5, spontaneous muses, healings, and skills. Reason number 6, light, mist, and music. And reason number 7, the psychomantium. We all like hearing stories about what people experienced, and this book is filled with stories, but not just any stories, stories from doctors. Let's continue with Paul Perry talking about terminal lucidity.
We had one really incredible story from the 1930s of a woman who had meningitis as a child, and as a result was essentially non-functional her entire life. She couldn't speak. She couldn't communicate in much of any way at all. As she was dying, she started singing, and she started singing a song. She never communicated, like I say, anything before. She started singing a song, sang it so beautifully that the medical staff was weeping and they were all pouring into her room to hear this phenomenon take place. And she seemed to have acquired information. She seemed to have acquired knowledge in her final moments. She sang, and then shortly thereafter, she died. That's also known as terminal lucidity, where yeah. Someone becomes very lucid at the point of being terminal.
Yeah, I was just thinking there are people, too, that whether it's dementia, there's nothing left. And then there are these bursts, or can be bursts of, they recognize everybody in the room.
Perhaps that's right.
See into beyond. Is that all could be tied in with this terminal
lucidity? Yes, this is terminal lucidity. That's right.
There was one written about in Time magazine where a doctor wrote about an oncologist. And this person he was talking about had essentially a head full of tumors. And he was just dead. He was essentially living dead. But at the last moment, when his children came into the room, he popped out of it. And he spoke with great lucidity about how pleased he was to be their father and what he would like to see continue in the family. And they thought, he's healed. We can take him home. And within a few hours, he passed away. That's the story of terminal lucidity. I think it's going to be one of the most common paranormal experiences.
Yeah, you know, Sandra, people used to know about this as just folk knowledge. They called it fae, F-E-Y, I think. If you look in the Oxford English Dictionary, the sort of central definition of that is a state of extraordinary enhanced consciousness that portends imminent death. And people knew about that when people died at home. But then people started dying in the hospital. But see, if anybody, I mean, I can attest this. Obviously, one of my activities as a medical doctor, a lot of it had to do with the terminally ill, because I was known for that, and people would call me in and so on. Anybody who is in that situation for any period of time, hospice workers or whatever, you're going to see this. And the trouble is, when you describe it, it's like nobody can believe it. I know the description, but all right, here is the description. It's like, as a person died, they've even been demented. I mean, it's like no communication for a long time. And then as they die, here you go, hold on to your hat. They light up, I swear to you. And it's not the light coming from a light bulb, but from the sun. It's coming from inside of them. It's just this pure light.
It's called a lightening experience, by the way.
Yeah. And people, it's like they become completely coherent. It's like my uncle, as he was dying, went around and gave a message to everybody in the family personally. And yet, you know that if you talk about this, nobody else who hasn't seen it is even capable of believing it. I had this guy was a well-known oncologist. He was, I guess, in his 70s when he was telling me this. He said he had this patient he had been dealing with for a long time. And so the patient had died. And so they had covered the patient up with the sheet. So the doctor was standing around with the family who he had known all a long time. And suddenly they saw the twitch from under the sheet and get it up. And he sits up and he starts talking to everybody very coherently. And then he just sort of sat back down, dead. My friend said, he said, unless those other people had been there with me, he said, I would have concluded that I had a hallucination. It's just that uncanny when you see it, really.
I think it's more common than people recognize.
Yes, absolutely.
It's now starting to be included on whatever the medical records are of the patient. There's now a description on
terminal lucidity.
Description of terminal lucidity, and yeah. It just keeps happening. And now they're starting to find that it's quite common.
Yeah. Bystanders often say, "Is what this man flew all the way from Australia to see me." To tell me about the experience he had with his wife when he was dying. He was getting ready to go to the store for a minute. And so he just wanted to come in there and be right back. But when he walked in the room, he said it was like, oh my God, she's perking up. And it was like they had a really heartfelt conversation. And he thought that she's turning around. So he went to the store, and as you can imagine, when he came back, she was dead. And I will remember that look on his face when he told me. He said, it was like, he said, she already had one foot on the other side. And the mystified look on his face. It's not something that is easy to put aside as oxygen deprivation to the brain, I'll tell you that.
These experiences are amazing. I mean, this, in putting together this book, I feel like I've heard everything and seen everything. And I discovered that wasn't true in putting this book together. One of the things that was very unique to me is that years ago, if you told a doctor you were working on a book on near-death experiences, many of them would poo-poo it. They would deny that it took place. Now you start to hear stories from physicians. Many of the stories are in this book. We have a large number of physician stories. And then some of them, like one that really amazes me is people who see a mist coming out of someone who's dying. Yeah. Because not only have we spoken to several doctors who have seen mist come out of people who are dying, but the description of what happens is the same, is that they'll see a mist and the mist forms and seems to get sucked into a tube or sucked into some hole.
Or disappear through the ceiling.
It disappears through the ceiling. I mean, the description is the same, which is good news, because it means that it's a legitimate phenomenon. If it repeats certain elements, it's a legitimate phenomenon.
I mean, I got to be honest, I've seen it myself. I mean, I just, holy mackerel, what was that? It presents itself as a mist to us because a mist is a symbol of the unknown or the unknowable, I guess. It's clouds themselves, which we now understood to, you know, you remember in the eighth grade, you learned that system of classifying the four types, the cumulus and the stratus and cirrus and nimbus. And that came about in the 1830s because up to that time, the common sense was that clouds are unknowable because they are unintelligible, ephemeral, unchangeable, and they were the very symbol. It was what the people symbolized, unknowability or unintelligibility, that it's unstable. And because knowledge, by contrast, is something solid, stable, so that knowledge of the clouds would by definition be, and people will ridicule, like up in the clouds, we say, you know, and in the clouds, we still say those things. That was something utterly unintelligible and beyond reason and knowledge. Then this guy named Luke Howard, who was a pharmacist and who traveled in his business back and forth, was just interested in this, got to watching clouds through the carriage or whatever, drawing them. Then he realized, oh my God, there's different types of them. Some of them are big and puffy. So he published this paper from a scientific society he belonged to. And it created a sensation because, as you can imagine, anybody who cared to read the paper and then wanted to walk outside could see he was right. Right? Because we can all see it for ourselves once you. And so I think, you know, something like that has got to happen because this is so, what in the world are we dealing with a mist coming out of somebody's body when they die?
I asked these guys if they thought shared death experiences happen because people are in the present moment. We like to believe that doctors are in the present moment.
You do have to have a peaceful mind, a present mind, but you also have to have a lot of empathy. I think empathy is a real factor in all these experiences.
Interesting.
People with empathy can be in a room with someone who's dying and they can lend their empathy to the person. And sometimes other people just can't do it. They just can't be around someone who's dying.
Yeah.
Sharing feelings of another is so important in life and apparently in death. Let's go to the break and we'll be back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain. My book, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, came out in 2013. In 2014, I started We Don't Die Radio, interviewing people about why they believed in the afterlife. In the beginning of 2020, Tom, producer of Coast to Coast AM, came to me with an idea to create Shades of the Afterlife. As he liked my work, it would be a podcast of me reporting on various reasons to believe in the afterlife. Shades is now going on 3 years old, and I'm proud of both my podcasts. I know I have a different set of listeners for each one, and some people listen to both. Every so often, I have a guest so spectacular that I feel I need to share on both platforms. Today, I feel the same way. What you're listening to now is an edited version of a very long video conversation I had with Dr. Moody and Paul Perry. If you wish to watch the entire thing, go to WeDon'tDie.com, click on the radio show page. Trust me, when I think something can really make a difference, I want to get it to as many people as I can, as fast as I can. So let's continue listening to some words by Dr. Raymond Moody.
I tell you, it's just a mystery when a person who almost dies has an experience of seeing another world. And it's a mystery multiplied when a bunch of people see an afterlife at the death of somebody else. But, you know, the reality is we just don't have the mind to compute it. My hero of the afterlife thinking is still David Hume, the great skeptic who influenced Einstein, for example. He was 1711 to 1776, the archetype of the skeptic. He was so skeptic, he said, as to the impressions which arise from their senses, he said, it's utterly beyond the rational possibility to determine whether those things arise from the objects or are from the creative power of our mind or from the author of our being. You know, it's like the whole assumption that we live in a physical world. That is all a product of consciousness and inferences about consciousness. And that's the reality. And Hume said, by the mere light of reason, it seems difficult to prove the immortality of the soul. Now, there's an understatement. And he went on to say, some new species of logic is required for that purpose, and some new faculties of the mind that they may enable us to comprehend that logic. Now, that is the brute reality. That's the real, that's the fact. No matter what anybody wants to say, that's the real fact. And so, see, it's traditionally been thought that that's the end of it, that that's impossible to me. I say, no, absolutely not. We can do it. There are new ways of thinking logically. And if you apply these new principles of logic, you can open faculties of your mind you didn't know you had. Mm-hmm. And that when you put those things together, we can actually prepare our minds in advance so that when subsequently we happen to have a near-death experience, we can come back and tell everybody else about it in a whole new way. I guarantee you, what I'm saying is, if you're curious about the afterlife and all, I just mean in this book, by proof of an afterlife. I'm a logician. I've studied proof. There's all different kinds of proofs. What I want to say here is there proof of an afterlife? That's what most people want to know. And from what I have studied and what I've listened to lots of people about what they mean when they're trying to say, what kind of proof do you want? What I can say is this. I can say that as a logician, a person who's taught logic and philosophy, I can say that it is a rational thing for you to anticipate that when you die, some amazing thing is going to happen that will sort of transfer you into a whole different level of reality. And that's what I'm anticipating. It's not a matter of believing or disbelieving, as it is for me. So in that sense, yeah, there's a proof. There's, for those who are, not symbolic logicians or whatever, but just ordinary folks wanting to know, is there a rational basis for this? Say, absolutely, absolutely.
Good news. Paul, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I heartily concur with that. And I know I did want to mention that there's a lot of people who want to know how to access Heaven's Gate, if you will. Mm-hmm. And one of the theories they've come up with is the theory of background information. And what that says is that on a daily basis, we're hit by thousands, if not millions, of bits of information. Everything from everything you see visually to everything you read, all your opinions, your own self-talk and other people's talk. And that what happens when people reach the state of having an afterlife open up to them is that somehow all of this background information, the unnecessary information, is cleared out of their mind and they're able to focus on the real background information, which is what happens to us on a supernatural way. To do that, many people have done deep meditations. They've done dark room meditations, things like that. And there's still a long way to go in figuring out how to access this afterlife, if you will. But that's one theory of it, that once you clean out the background information, you have an open gate, if you will.
I like it. What's the psychomantium?
Well, that's something I found out about when I was 18 years old, which I thought was hogwash. I am a great fan of the Greeks, and when I was 18, I had a great course reading Herodotus, the historian, these ancient Greek oracles of the dead. They wrote about them. They had places where you could go through procedures, and you would seem to see and talk to deceased relatives. And so, to make a very long story short, I also studied psychiatry and in altered states of consciousness. I had been studying for some time the phenomenon where if you have a vacant space in your vision, will feel like a glittering space or a clear depth, they call it, like you can take a silver bowl and highly polish it on the inside, fill it with olive oil. And then in a darkened room, you gaze by candlelight or some low illumination, You gaze into that. And many people under those circumstances have these hypnagogic visions where they see this very lifelike, not like mental imagery, but very lifelike three-dimensional visions. And I had known about that, and I experimented with my psychology students. But in 1985, 1986, 1987, I found in an archaeological journal that an archaeologist I already knew about, Sotirios Dakaris, he was a very famous Greek classical archaeologist, had rediscovered this place, the Oracle of the Dead, and had excavated it. Based on what they found there was in the apparition chamber, they found a large cauldron, bronze cauldron, and it was surrounded by a balustrade. This was obviously the place you saw the visions, and there is torch marks on the wall showing it was illuminated. You stayed down there for 29 days talking about the person who died and so on. Then you went into a cut stone maze in complete darkness, felt your way into this chamber, and there gazing into this, you saw the apparitions. Sotirios hadn't figured that part out. I had figured that part out. And so I went to his place in 93 or something, 94. And I told him about, no, I think what it is this, because I had recreated it by then. And he said, yeah, like then he realized, he showed me some books of people saying, he had just never put two and two together. But I tried it out. You just set up a room where there's a mirror, and it's a darkened room, but the mirror is placed higher than your line of vision, so you don't see your reflection. The room is darkened, you don't see reflections. There's a gentle light behind you, illuminated just gently. But the primary thing is the preparation, like you think about, talk about with your friend, like the person who died. What was this person like? What are your best memories? What are your sticking points in the relationship? So then after this preparation, you go in there and you just gaze into the mirror, and people have extraordinary things. I was not expecting what the result. My graduate students of psychology then, as time went, my medical colleagues, a psychiatry colleague, and a clinical psychologist colleague, and a sociology colleague, and an anesthesiologist were my subjects. And these were people who were informed about the mind. So I figured that if anybody that did have a vision that said, yeah, Raymond, I saw my grandma, or was it real, or was it, that was what I was expecting. But imagine my surprise when my colleagues and graduate students came out of there, not saying I saw him, but yeah, I talked to my grandma. And it was startling to me. It was a way, I mean, I had no idea of what I tapped into. And what people say is that some say the image appears in the mirror, and they others say that, yeah, the image appears in the mirror, but then the image comes out into the room.
Their book, Proof of Life Afterlife, Seven Reasons to Believe There Is an Afterlife, has instructions about setting up your own psychomantium. Also remember to visit Dr. Moody's site at lifeafterlife.com and paulperryproductions.com, and visit us at wedontdie.com. Click on the radio show page, come to a free Sunday gathering, take a medium class with us, and more. I'm Sandra Champlain. Thank you for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.